come to the Lord to be cleaned up. And that's what kind of women God's looking for. These women were all products of what Jesus had said in chapter 7, verse 47, as we ended our study about 3 weeks ago. Look up at verse 47. If you're there, read it. "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Now, there are some exceptions to this rule, but as far as the general rule, outside of those who are saved by the blood of Christ and have been forgiven, that's where you find so many mothers and wives who love little. It's still a fact, no matter what you're told out there, among Bible-believing, born-again Christians, the divorce rate is much lower than it is in the world. And, of course, that's the way it ought to be. What you'll see in articles is, say, people who go to church have the same rate of divorce as those in the world. And, like, most of those going to the church are in the world. You know, make the real division, you'll see that among those who are born again, and let me tell you, a lot of the Christians who have gone through divorce married someone who wasn't a Bible-believing Christian. It's got to be two Bible-believing Christians who love the Lord and come together if you want a real good chance of making it. Outside of that, the divorce rate is massive. And the same thing with mothers of children. Who are the mothers who are handing their children over to dress up like the opposite sex and call themselves trans at 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 years old? Who are those mothers? Godless. Yeah. Amen. And who are the mothers who neglect their family and they're not raising them to know Jesus? They're not raising them in the Word. They're showing very little real love. You'll find that they are godless. I mean, this world would be transformed and will be during the millennium whenever mothers are and wives are like these certain women. It'll change the world. You want to know why the world's as bad as it was? People say, oh, the men were always able to run around and fornicate and commit adultery, and then you're just upset because the women are doing the same thing. There's two things to say about that. Number one, the claims about men are exaggerated. And it's still, again, outside of Bible-believing Christian men, you saw most of that. And you see it every once in a while, somebody in the church, and everybody blows it out of proportion. Okay, if one guy, even if it's the pastor, which has happened, if that one guy's caught up in adultery, how many other men in that church not committing adultery? Well, that percentage is way lower than it is outside of that church. And so that's what the world likes to frame things in a way that is really just not even accurate. And let's just pick up with the individuals listed here. Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. I mean, that's just, I think my note is, worse than any case I've personally encountered. Now, I think I've encountered devil-possessed women and men. But I've dealt with that kind of thing and just believed I was dealing with somebody who had a devil. But this thing of seven devils, and I have to believe that in other cases when there were multiple devils like that, the person was really out of their heads and were displaying that more openly. Whereas a lot of the devil possession, I believe, is happening pretty regularly, you know, I believe. And it's just, you'll see it in their eyes. You'll see it in the way they are treating people, the way they're acting, their rebellion against the Word of God. Yeah, that's one place where you see it. So any woman, young or old, under conviction can be saved. Amen. Even a woman with seven devils was able to be saved. So this isn't certain women as in the sense of election and chosen by God. He only chose a few certain women to be, you know, what these women are. That's not the case. Yeah, Johnny.
Now this Just an interesting thought here. I imagine if she had seven devils, that probably means that wherever she was probably well known.
Yeah.
So that had to make it even more amazing when Jesus came and
absolutely
her and now she's this.
But what we see him doing is just pretending as though there's not been any change and that Jesus is a false prophet for having Mary Magdalene around him. See? So it's according to your heart. But those who are seeking the Lord and wanted to find him, they would see someone like Mary Magdalene and praise the Lord. It would draw them to him. But if your heart's not right, light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And so even today you see that kind of thing where I just have to say, when I got saved, I mean, it was a big change. And there were people who come up and tell me, say, wow, I can really see it in you. You're totally different than you were before you got saved. But there were still those out there saying, oh, he's just play acting. He's just trying to get on the good side of so-and-so. And he's just trying to put on a show. But you'll see, it won't be long. He'll be showing his true colors. And that's the way I'm sure they did Mary Magdalene. And so I haven't been perfect, been far from perfect. But as far as my relationship with the Lord, my walk with the Lord, they're still waiting. they think I'm going to fall and show my true colors. And by the way, it's sad anyway, because there are true Christians who do fall. They do stumble. And we're there to try to reconcile them, not to just cast them out. So it names then Joanna, the wife of, now, I want to just inform you, you can pronounce Cusa or Cusa. And actually the Hebraic pronunciation would be Cusa. But if you do that around here, people are going to think you're choking on something. So you could say Chusa if you want, but that's, yeah, but that's not really a pronunciation that would be based on the text, but you're an American now, right?
Right.
Aren't you an American?
Well,
no, actually, you're American, right? But you're American, right?
Yes.
We rub off. but don't miss the point, though, that Joanna is the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward. Think of that. Herod's steward. Herod's steward would have been one of his close associates in his presence all the time, and his wife got saved. We would call that a woman of high society, but lost. One of the famous titles to sermons preached in years past was Religious But Lost. That meant that they were part of the high class type of religion and that sort of thing. So we have two extreme opposites, and both saved by faith in Jesus Christ. You have somebody in the high levels of government, is her husband working there, and then someone with seven devils. And Jesus saved them both. And then there's this Susanna. She's not the one that comes from Alabama with a banjo on her name. She's also not the one in the apocryphal book of Daniel. There's an apocryphal version of Daniel. This isn't her. Actually, nothing else is known of her other than what we read in this text.
Wow.
Going to be neat to meet her one day. Amen?
Amen.
Susanna. But she represents a type of woman that we see. There are basically three types of women. You have the low class, you know, the people who are full of devils. You have the low class women. Jesus loves them.
Amen.
You have the high class, like Chusa's wife, Joanna. But they tend to be full of pride, and not necessarily devils, but just so full of pride. But you also have the obscure, like Susanna, we know nothing about. The obscure, invisible to society. There's just a lot of people who feel like that. They just feel invisible, like no one knows they're there. You know, whether you're in the ditch or in the White House or you just feel invisible, Jesus died to save you.
Amen.
And that just about covers us all. Yeah. I mean, that generally speaking, if you don't get too tight with it, you just kind of put people into one of those three categories before they're saved. Low class, high class, or just obscure. That would kind of like be the medium, middle class, as they call it. So, certain women serve Jesus, all others serve Satan. Let that one sink in. That is a statement of fact. Certain women, do you want to be one of those certain women? Otherwise, you're not serving Jesus, you're serving Satan. Even if you've made yourself your own little God, it's all about me, or you get involved in organizations or even religions or whatever. Yeah, the Bible says behind all those false religions are devils. If you're serving anyone but Jesus, you're serving the devil. You suit his needs. You serve his purposes. So verse 3 says, ends by saying, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. You know what that means? They were all givers. Everybody's so touchy about their little god called Mammon today. And because you got some crooks and charlatans who have taken the money from the little old ladies and bought jet airplanes and that kind of thing. Well, you can look real hard. You're not going to find any of that around me. And there are tens of thousands of preachers who are simply serving God by preaching the book. And yet there are just not enough of the certain women and men who are supporting what they do financially. And they use those things as an excuse. But I'm here to tell you this. You are to give as unto the Lord. You're not to look at me or anything to do with this church facility or anything. You give unto the Lord. And if you want to be one of those certain women, you're going to give. And I will tell you this. Certain women follow Christ and the rest are following the culture. And I believe that the certain women who are tight with their money and not supporting the Lord's work, you'll find that there's something wrong. They're all about culture. They're caught up in the world. And so their desire to serve and to sacrifice for the Lord's work is just not there. Just a matter of truth. Look at 2 Timothy 3 real quick. 2 Timothy 3. Paul's talking about our day. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And when it says for men, that includes women. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, always wanting something else, never satisfied, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That's the woman who doesn't really love and serve her husband and children, for example. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now read verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Why? Because they will drag you down. We have had, over the years, we've had men and women, but since we're talking about the women, I'll focus on that, who have come to BBF, and they are so full of themselves. They have a feminist spirit about them. And they start causing trouble. I do not block the door on their way out. Because I'm told to turn away from them. If they won't repent and get with the biblical program, it's sad. I'm not happy about it, but bye. I've told men and women this about marriage, for example. You think just having a woman or having a man and being married is wonderful? It's not. If you don't get a good one, you're better off alone.
Right.
Now let's talk about these women who are so full of all these characteristics. You'll see it play out. Verse 6 and 7, read that with me. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I mean, it happens on social media so much, and not just to me. I witnessed it happening to Brother Mark yesterday. He had to cut a couple of ladies out of his group that he has because they start preaching their heresy and false doctrine, and you show them the scriptures and they don't care. They've got their own ideas and own attitudes. But it's wrong on man or woman. I mean, you know, either way. But it just seems like in this day, there's more apathy among men. The really zealous heretics are almost always women. Isn't that something? That's just the way it is. So scripture with scripture, we look in Hebrews 11. Go ahead and turn there. And we'll look at just a couple of the women mentioned there. In the Bible, there are Old and New Testament certain women. Sarah. Look at verses 11 and 12. Read that with me. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, read 12, therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Abraham was promised to have seed that would outnumber the stars eventually. But he needed a woman. And this was a 90-year-old woman. I mean, I don't know how old all of you are having babies, but double that age. Think about that. Because I know none of you were, I don't think any of you were 45 when you had a baby. You were 45? Okay. But even doubling that. Yeah. But look, it doesn't say that God went against her will. Look at verse 11 how it ends. Because she judged him faithful, not Abraham, who had promised. See? Sarah's something else, ain't she? And then you have Rahab. There's how we're talking about the women of the night. Rahab was called Rahab the harlot. And look at verses 30 and 31 there in Hebrews 11. Read that with me. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. So there's a harlot. What do you mean? Well, she repented and turned to God, turning to the people of God, and she demonstrated her faith by her works. And she was saved. She ended up then marrying Solomon and becoming part of the lineage genealogy of Jesus. Imagine that. And look at verse 35. First word, read it out loud. Women. Just that one word first. Women. So there's Sarah and Rahab here in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11. And then there's just this general term of women. And you can go back and read about them. Read verse 35 with me. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Think of that. With the story of is Elijah with the little boy. And the little boy's out in the field with his dad. And he says, my head, my head. And then his dad takes him running to mama, dead. And she had believed God through the prophet. And just as it says, received their dead, raised to life. And that little boy was raised from the dead and given back to his mommy. You know, there are a lot of women who have lost their children. Think of how many were lost in the wars. And a lot of those have already been reunited. Think of the women who sent their boys overseas for World War I, World War II, Vietnam, and these endless wars that we've been in for 20, 30 years now. Got their boy or girl back in a coffin draped with the flag they're burning in these Democrat riots. Buried that child. But if that young person was saved and mama saved, it was only a temporary goodbye. And she will receive her child raised to life again. You talk about a great getting up day. What a time that's going to be when we all get together and those moms and you know, a lot of these women who have murdered their little babies in abortion clinics got saved. And they're going to see a grown-up child. And there's miscarriages. Women who have lost babies in miscarriage, and the first time they're going to lay eyes on that baby as a grown adult will be in a glorified state in heaven. Oh, boy. But only if you're the certain women. There are going to be other women who are going to go to hell. That baby's in heaven. If you have had an abortion somehow, some way, you're listening to this today, I don't know all your past, but people online or on radio or wherever, if you've had an abortion, if you will repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved, you can be forgiven, and you can see that baby.
Amen.
Can you name other biblical examples of certain women?
Abigail.
If you don't know who this is, you got to read it. Abigail, remember Jael? Put a nail in Sisera's head. There you go. If you don't know who these are, they're great stories. The Bible's a great book. You ought to read it sometime. Ruth. Deborah. Esther. Whole book about her and Ruth. They're little, but they're whole books. Any more? You know, who? Dorcas has the best name in the Bible. And we have a granddaughter named after Lydia, the seller of purple. But you know, back there, Rebecca.
Mary, of course.
Mary, of course, yes. I want to mention, you go back to Moses. He had a sister named Miriam. She got in trouble one time, got in real hot water. Became a leper for a day or 7 days. But otherwise, pretty good sister. And on it goes. I'm telling you, the Bible, if you really adopt these names into your thinking, your consciousness, as you read, they're real people. They're as real as the person sitting next to you. You think of that, and the Bible just becomes so much more enjoyable to read. Especially when you think, I'm going to meet them sometime. I'm going to meet Epaphroditus. I like saying his name. I would say, I don't know anything about you, but I love your name. Epaphroditus. All right. So this was true of each of these certain women. If you look in Hebrews 11, we're still there. Verses 36 through 40, how it ends. And I'm going to end the study right here with this text. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Now read verses 37 through 40 with me. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So they went into, we talk about this in Sunday school, they went into the center of the earth, they went to Abraham's bosom, they weren't in the presence of Jesus, there were still some things missing, but it was a wonderful place, but it was a place where they had to stay until Jesus paid for their sins, conquered sin and death, went down there, preached to them the truth of His gospel and the power of His resurrection, took them out and took them to heaven, and now they're made perfect. And that, women, next time you think life's rough, read that. None of you have gone through all that. But certain women have. And this was also true of each of the certain women. You don't have to turn there. I just want to read verse 13 through 36. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And if truly, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Amen. Certain women, this world is not your home. Amen. You look for the better country. And I'm going to save that and go right to the hymn we're going to sing. The musicians can come forward. One of the verses of this hymn we're going to sing, just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict and many a doubt, fightings and fears within without, O Lamb of God, I come. You need to understand you have your shortcomings. None of you are perfect, and you need to understand we're not perfect. You're not perfect. We're all a bunch of imperfect people. We have these fightings and fears within and without. But we come to Jesus just as we are. And then He will take you just as you are. And He will use you to His glory. If you just have that attitude of submitting to God and saying, I belong to You.